All right. Well, I'm glad you're here. God is good. We're going to have a good time, and we're going to start a brand new series today. I was going to wait till next week to begin this series, but we're going to start talking today, though, about heroes of the Bible. Now, all of the banners aren't in yet, so they'll be here next week. But my goal here in our series is not to take a Bible character and do an extensive study on him or her. My goal is to take an aspect of their life that I think helped create them and made them be a hero, and then look at that, see if it's in our life, and if not, make it applicable so that we can be heroes. You need to be a hero to somebody. You need to be a hero to your children. You need to be a hero to your grandchildren. You need to be a hero to your spouse. You need to be a hero to your friends. You need to be a witness, if that's how you want to say it. You need to be an example. But are you on the list? And that's what we're talking about. So today what I want to talk about is David. Now, I know we've done a story, a whole thing on David, but I was just going to use this one to kind of set up what I wanted to do, but it worked out so well, I just decided to fly with it. So David had this unique ability, and his unique ability was to be able to recognize which battles to fight and which battles not to fight. You see, I've learned in life that so many of the battles, the conflicts, things I engage in are unnecessary. Just unnecessary battles and things that I've involved myself into. Sometimes I even instigated them. And they're so unnecessary. All they do is distract me from what I really want to accomplish in life, what God really wants me to accomplish in life. And I get engaged in those things. And usually, it's just because somebody has ticked me off. Because somebody crossed my path and did something I didn't like. And so I engage in a conflict here. And what this thing does to me is it distracts me and lures me away from what's really, really important in my life. And we all have daily opportunities, do we not, to engage in a conflict with somebody somewhere. We all do, you know, with a spouse. We can engage in a conflict pretty easily. Maybe at work, there's a coworker that's upset you. Maybe somebody sent you an email or something like that you didn't like. You were offended by it. Or how about this one? How about that idiot in traffic? That person that upset you and cut you off in traffic. You see, all of these things are meaningless conflicts that we get into. And what I'm wanting us to come to the place of seeing today is what we've got to ask ourselves. Is if I involve myself into this conflict, if I engage into this battle, what reward is there? Even if I win, if I invest my time, my thoughts, if I invest my emotions, if I lose sleep, even if it makes me sick physically, what does this do to promote my life in the direction in which I really want to go? And we all experience this. What reward is there in this conflict? For example, let's using this one. And this is my, we talked about it, Judy and I, and I asked her, I said, okay, let's. What is my thing? What meaningless conflict do I seem to constantly involve myself that means nothing? And we agree, it's traffic. I can't go anywhere without getting, I am so thankful it only takes me about 2 minutes to get to work. I mean, really, we go on a trip. I'm upset. And you know, it is meaningless. And so maybe you understand at least what I'm talking about. If you don't do it, maybe you know somebody who does. And, you know, and this nut won't move over. They just don't care. They're on the cell phone talking or having a conversation, oblivious to anybody else on the road. They think they own it, and they won't move over. So if I engage them in a conflict now, and I get vengeance, you know, and so I finally get past them, and then I slow down in front of them. You know, I'll show you. show you how it feels. You know, and you know, and so you engage this, or you wave at them. You know what I'm talking about? When you wave at them, or you yell at them, or you stare at them. What good has this done me? And I know if you've done it, you say, well, I feel better. No, you don't. You say, I'm a professional here. You really don't feel better. In fact, just a few minutes, you're thinking, you fool. Why did you let that upset you so badly? Why did you do that? So what I'm wanting us to see today, if there's no reward in it, leave it alone. If it's not standing between you and your God-given destiny, turn from it. Leave it alone. Because all it's going to do is probably make things worse. So you don't know that person, right? If you knew that person that you were upset with, you wouldn't have got upset to start with. Am I right? So you don't know this person. And it's like somebody said to me one time, if they'll just let me around them in just a minute or two, there'll be a speck in my rearview mirror. And I want to enhance that just a little bit. Not only would there be a speck in your rearview mirror, but there'll also be just a speck in your mind. It means nothing. I'll never see this person again. What good has that just done? And so many of the battles and the conflicts in which we enter and entertain ourselves and engage ourselves into are so meaningless. They mean nothing. And many people, I am satisfied, miss God's abundance because they're simply trying to prove themselves. Trying to prove themselves to themselves, trying to prove themselves to their critics, trying to prove themselves to their spouse or to whomever's with them. You know, and it means nothing. It just means nothing. And you know, people that stay in battle mode all the time. You say, we shouldn't stay in battle mode all the time. You know, people that it seems like every other minute they're mad at somebody different. You know, they're mad at the neighbor, or they're mad at the spouse, or they're mad at somebody at work, or they're mad at a relative. And 6 months later, this thing has consumed them. And they have spent all this time, all this energy, all this emotion, gotten sick, lost sleep because of something that brought no reward, that did not advance them any further in the direction that they wanted their lives to go. And here they are, all consumed with this thing that just doesn't matter. I was thinking about this, and I want to go ahead and make sure I say it. You see, if we spend all of our time in meaningless conflicts, when the real conflict comes along, we're so divided that we're not able to really focus on what we really need to focus on. We're so divided where our emotions are down, we're physically tired, we spend all this time. But here's what I really wanted to say. Time is so precious. See, you only have so much. And how foolish is it to give one single minute to some meaningless conflict? I was thinking, if I were able to go back in my life and reassimilate all that time that I've spent in meaningless conflicts and battles and fights that meant nothing, if I was able to go back and get all of that time and refocus that time on what really did mean something, if I were able to go back and refocus it on my relationship with my wife, or my relationship with my children, or my relationship here at church to make this church better, or my relationship with the Lord in prayer. You see, when you get into these conflicts, you can't pray. You don't want to read your Bible. You don't want to minister to people because you're so consumed with this stuff. And it means nothing. See, we only have so much time. How foolish it is of us to take that precious, precious time and waste one single minute of it on a meaningless conflict. We're supposed to be warriors, and warriors we are. We're more than conquerors. But warriors don't engage themselves in every single conflict. Warriors pick their battles. And they only engage themselves in battles that have rewards, or battles that stand between them and their God-given destiny. They don't engage into everything. And it should be that way with us. The only things that we should engage in are battles that stand between us and what we really want from life, and battles that have a reward to them. Now, the reason that I've chosen David to kind of bring this in is David had this unique ability. David had the ability to decide the battles that he should engage into and the battles that he shouldn't engage into. He had this ability. He comes onto the scene in our scriptures, and his dad has sent him. His daddy's name was Jesse. And Jesse sent David, his son, his youngest son, to the battlefield, where there was this war going on, this battle between Israel and the Philistines. And so David goes, and David's brothers were there. Jesse wanted David to take him some food. And so David gets there, and his brothers have a more prestigious job than David has. They're in the army of Saul, very prestigious kind of position, and David was just a shepherd boy. And so he comes to the battlefield, and you remember the story. He comes to the battlefield, and there is this mammoth man, this giant named Goliath, and he's out there defying and defiling with words the people of God. He's taunting them. He's laughing at them. And so David begins to inquire. Now, here is something so interesting to me. These are the very first words of David in the Bible. Not the first words about David, but the first words of David in the Bible. And I want you to get this. And it's in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 26. And here it says, David asked the men near him, "What will be done for, what's the reward, what's the spoil? What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel?" It's interesting to me that among the first words of David in the scriptures is, "What's the reward here? What do I get if I engage myself into this battle? What's this worth?" And he's told, the rewards are in three parts. The first part is you get wealthy, you get a lot of wealth. He's going to give you a financial reward. Second thing is you get to marry Saul's daughter. Now that's better than it sounds. It means you become important. You are immediately a part of the king's family. You have influence. You have power. And then the third part is you're exempt from taxes from now on. You and your family. That's a good one. And David says, you know what? This might be worth fighting for. And so he's questioning about the reward, and immediately watch what happens, because it's the same thing that happens to you and me. We get focused on our destinies, we get focused on the reward, and immediately a distraction comes. You remember Eliab, he's David's oldest brother. He's a GQ guy, you know. He's the one that Samuel said, "Man, you look like a king." But God says, "No, I've rejected this guy." You know, so anyway, let me read you this. Immediately, here comes Eliab. Let me read it to you, 1 Samuel 17:28. "But when David's oldest brother Eliab heard David talking to the men, he was angry. All he heard David was asking about the reward. And Eliab was angry. 'What are you doing around here anyway?' he demanded. 'What about those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? I know about your pride and dishonesty. You just want to see the battle. What are you doing here? Yeah, what are you doing asking about the reward? What are you doing? Listen, you're not even doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be with those little few sheep you're supposed to. You're just a little bratty kid, not doing what you're supposed to be doing." Now, here's what I want us to see. David had opportunity to engage with Eliab in this cuss fight, or get refocused on the real problem, the big problem, Goliath. Watch what David did. Watch how he responded to Eliab's challenge. 1 Samuel 17:29. "And David said, 'What's this about? You know, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Listen, there's a cause here. There's a big problem here. In case you haven't noticed, you know, there's a cause.' And he turned from him." I want you to say that back to me. "And he turned from him. He turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner." David turned from Eliab, challenged, and began to ask again about the real important. What's the reward here? You know, and I want us to make sure we get this. So many times we engage the Eliabs of life rather than focusing on the Goliaths. And it's when we focus the Goliaths that the Goliaths propel us towards our destiny. Eliab doesn't mean anything. You know, and David is just as human as you and I. He could have, he wanted to, you know he did. Listen, he's not afraid of Eliab. He's not afraid of Goliath. He certainly isn't afraid of Eliab. He wanted to engage him. You know he wanted to say, you big idiot. Listen, well, what are you talking about? If you're so bad, if you're so big, why aren't you out there fighting the giant? But he didn't do that. What he did is kept his focus. He kept focused on the real problem, which was the giant. And by taking down this real problem, it propelled him into life. Plus, he got wealthy, right? He got the king's daughter. He became important. He became a powerful person. And he's exempt from taxes. That's pretty cool. He got the reward. One reason that David is a hero in the Bible is because he really figured out which battles to fight. He did. He didn't fight those meaningless battles. He fought the ones that mattered. Now we need to ask ourselves. I want you to ask yourself right now, right where you're sitting. I want you to ask yourself, what battles am I involved in? What battles have I engaged, created perhaps even, that are meaningless? Well, what battles am I engaged in right now? Are they really worth fighting? Am I just wanting vengeance? Am I just trying to prove myself? Even if I win, will they project me any further into where I want to go? And what I really want us to get today, what I really want us to see, is and realize that most of the conflicts and the challenges that we enter into life are meaningless. And you're wasting your time. You're wasting your energy. You're wasting resources. You're losing sleep. You're getting stressed. You're losing health in probably days of your precious, precious life because you engage in these silly, meaningless battles. See, if it's not worth fighting, leave it alone. If it doesn't have a reward, turn from it. If it's standing between you and your destiny, engage it. If it has a reward, gauge it. But when you stop and you evaluate this thing and it means nothing, let it become a speck in your mind. If someone doesn't like you, that's not going to stop you from experiencing your destiny unless you allow it. Right? If somebody at work upsets you, that's not going to stop you from experiencing your God-given destiny unless you allow it. If somebody in traffic upsets you, don't engage that. It's not going to stop you from experiencing your God-given destiny. Those things are not worth starting World War III over. And so many times we do. We engage in things. And listen to me, in the bigger picture, they mean nothing. They have you upset for the moment. But when you get past the moment, they are meaningless waste of time. When we get caught up in the petty fights of life, we could miss the Goliaths of life that actually will propel us, push us forward to our God-given destinies. But what I found out today is that people are so touchy, they're so easily offended. And what this will actually do is interfere with your relationship with God, your relationship at church. I want to tell you a story. There's a lady began coming here to church, and she would catch me. I guess maybe a month. I had just began to recognize her and know her name, and so I had just began to communicate with her a little bit, and she was telling me how much she enjoyed it, how much the lessons meant to her, and how she was enjoying everything. Well, then I missed her for a couple of weeks, and so I searched around and found her phone number and gave her a call. And I said, hey, you know, been missing you. Just wondering if everything's okay. Do I need to do anything for you? Can I pray for anything? Anything I need to do for you? She says, no. She says, I'm not coming back. And I said, oh, really? I'm sorry. Why is that? She says, well, everybody's talking about me. And I didn't say this, but I wanted to say this. Lady, everybody's not talking about you. Most people don't even know who you are. And if they don't know who you are, they're really not interested in you because they don't know enough about you to be interested in. And I'm trying to say this, you know, with respect. But we see, we take something and we explode it. We make it way bigger than it is. And you know, and I'm trying to communicate to her, you know, what do you mean? What happened? What happened? Well, and here's what had happened. She complained that the music was too loud. That it was too loud in here. And somebody came up to her, and I thought this was a great idea. Suggested that she move away from the speaker. You know, move to a place where she wouldn't be sitting directly under the speaker. Move to a different location. At least try that. And that offended her, because we wouldn't turn it down for her. And I'm trying to work with her, and I'm thinking, ma'am, if you win this battle, you lose. You know, even if you win, you don't win. It's separated you from the things of God. It separated you where you said you were being blessed, being taught, changing your life. Surely, lady, there are bigger things in your life than the music. Surely there are. And you and I think we relate to this. We let some of the things in life just engage us. We've all been caught up in these kinds of things where it actually affects our relationship at church, our relationship with meaningful people, and we allow it to take us away, and even if we win, we lose. I was having lunch one day with a person, and we were sitting there. We were having this great time of fellowship. We were laughing, and we were cutting up, enjoying our fellowship and our time together, and just enjoying the things of God. And I'm looking at him, and we're smiling, and he looks up, and his countenance changes from joy to hate. I mean, this is just, whoa, what's this about? And he says, brother, you really need to pray for me about the guy that just came in the door. I said, oh my goodness, it must be bad. I said, and I didn't want to just whirl around, you know, and see who it was. And so I waited until I saw him, and I said, what happened? And he said, I thought it was really, really bad. He said, well, he owned a business, and he was supposed to fix something for me. He didn't fix it. And the way he was talking, it sounded like it just happened yesterday. So I said, when did this happen? It was about 10 years ago. Wow. And, you know, I'm dealing with, you know, buddy. And I'm thinking, well, it must have been a big amount of money. I said, how much was it? How much do you feel like, you know, he cheated you out of? About $50? I thought to myself, I'll give you $50. Man, get over this. You know, and it had totally wrecked his day. We were having this wonderful time of fellowship, and it just consumed him right there on the spot. You know, and I'm thinking, wow, this guy is totally oblivious to you. He doesn't even know you're in the room. He doesn't remember you. You're not on his radar. And I'm thinking, you know, some of us get into these conflicts and these battles with people, and we hate them so badly, they'll literally die and go to heaven, walking in glory with Jesus, and we're still mad at them. Am I right? We still hate them. They're retired, moved to Florida, bought them a condo, out there on the beach watching the sunsets, not even thinking about you, and you're still hating them. We're consumed with these things. They rob us of life. They rob us of a day, a moment, even if it's a minute. It's just not worth it. It's just not what God would have us to do. Let go of it. Turn from it. Focus on what's really important in life. And David became king because he had this unique ability to recognize the battles he should fight and the battles he shouldn't fight. And we all know, we know the story of David. And before David was king, Saul was king. And David absolutely refused to engage Saul in battle. He would not do it. And he had several opportunities where he could. You know, you remember the story we went through in the life of David that we studied here. You know, David was, and his mighty men were in a cave one day. And Saul comes up. He needed to have some privacy. And so he comes up into David's cave. Right there, in the middle of David's cave, and has his moment of privacy. And David is hiding back there in the shadows. And he pulls out his knife, and everybody thinks he's going to go up there and kill Saul. But what he really did was slip up, cut off a piece of his garment, and go back into the cave. And everybody says, David, why didn't you kill him? Why didn't you kill him? You had the opportunity to. David says, that's not a battle you engage in. Let me read it to you. What he said to his guys in 1 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 6, it says, he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lift my hand against him, for he is the anointed of the Lord. David would not mess with, engage in a fight with the Lord's anointed. Listen, that's one you won't win. You don't do that. And I hear so many people today criticizing preachers, criticizing churches. Listen, don't do that. You're not going to win that battle. Before David became king, and I had to contemplate on this in a little bit. Before David became king, there was a guy named Nabal. And Nabal, his name means fool, really upset David. I mean, he really ticked David off badly. And David was so angry with Nabal that he saddled up all of his mighty men, and they were riding, making dust, heading for Nabal. They were going to annihilate Nabal off the face of the planet. They were going to kill his kids. They were going to kill everybody. They were going to wipe them off. And so they're going, and God sends Abigail, who is Nabal's wife, a very wise woman, to intercept David. And she says, David, don't do this. Man, this is going to mess your destiny up. This is going to blemish your life. This is just vengeance. You're just angry. Listen, don't do this. Everybody knows your destiny. Everybody knows you're going to be the leader of Israel. Don't do this. Let me read it to you. It's in 1 Samuel 24:6, and it's in 1 Samuel 25:31. Don't let this be a blemish on your record. Then you won't have to carry on your conscience the staggering burden. The staggering burden of needless bloodshed and vengeance. David calmed down. And David listened to her. And my point here is that God will send you people. Because you see, you guys, and I guess women too, you relate to this. You know how it is when you get angry. I mean, you lose it. You lose good sense. You'll fight anything. You'll fight a grizzly bear. You know, because you're angry and you're mad. And you're riding and you're ready to annihilate something. And God, because He understands that about us, will send us somebody. And listen, don't brush Him off. Let them talk. Let them calm you down. Decide that this isn't really a battle you need to engage in. That you're just angry and you're experiencing vengeance here. Let me show you what David replied. 1 Samuel 25:32. David replied to Abigail, praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you to meet me today. Thank God for your good sense, because I didn't have any. And all you women say, and you know, we do. We lose it, man. Bless you for keeping me from murdering the man and carrying out vengeance with my own hands. I can't count the times that my wife has intercepted me and kept me from doing something stupid. Delbert, you're just mad. Calm down. You'll be okay. It's going to be all right. Here's her favorite statement right now. Delbert, just move to the other lane. We need to convince ourselves this just isn't worth fighting. I remember when Judy and I first got married. Long time ago now. We first got married, and we had toothpaste in a tube. Now, everybody knows you squeeze toothpaste from the bottom. And you squeeze it up, and then when it gets up a little high, you start rolling it from the bottom. That way, it's always pushing the toothpaste up, and you don't waste any, right? Well, I knew this, but Judy had never learned this. And so I would give her my speech, Judy, push the toothpaste from the bottom. We roll it up. And okay. So a couple of days would go by and I look at the toothpaste and it'd be squeezed to the top again. Judy, come on. So after about 5 years of figuring this was pretty meaningless, what she finally did was buy me a tube and told me, you squeeze it however you want to. (Laughter) Now, I could have kept fighting this, right? And maybe one day I would have convinced her to squeeze the toothpaste from the bottom. I might have won the battle, but I'd have been sleeping in the garage. And you think, that's silly. But agree with me that the majority of the battles that we get into are meaningless and silly. It really doesn't matter which end of the toothpaste you squeeze. How many battles did you instigate? Did you instigate that just were not worth it? And they became distractions for you, distracting you, luring you from what was really important in life. And many times, you know, we can win the battle, but we come out so scarred. We say things that we regret saying. People say things back to us that hurt us and scar us over a meaningless nothing. We lose sleep. Our blood pressure goes up. We stress out. Have a heart attack. We won the battle. But we had a heart attack. And how many years did that one meaningless battle take off your life? Wouldn't it be better just to turn from it and have peace? See, a bulldog can whip a skunk any day of the week. But isn't it worth the outcome? You might win the battle, but the stink you've got to carry. You can come out on top. But the pressure and the tension and the words and the anger and the feelings and all the stuff that you experience, is it really worth it? You see, the stinking skunk would have left you alone and went on its stinking way had you not encouraged it and engaged it. But because you engaged the skunk, now you're stinking. You see, the people that we engage into conflicts have friends. How many enemies did you make in your engagement? They love that person, and you've engaged them in conflict. Was that necessary? They've got family. Now their family hates you. You've got more enemies now than you ever had before. Was it worth it? Was it worth the engaging? See, it's easy to start a fight, but it's not always easy to finish one. And it's very easy to start an argument, but it's very difficult to repair the damage you did. Turn from it. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 3 says this: it is a man's honor. It's a man's what?
Honor
to what? Avoid strife. But every... how many? Every fool is quick to quarrel. Are you quick to quarrel? You need to read this. From a different translation, that's the NIV version. Here's the New Living Translation. It says, avoiding a fight is a mark of honor. Only fools insist on quarreling. If you want people to honor you, if you want God to honor you, don't be quick to quarrel. If you want to be honored by people, avoid strife. Avoid a fight, if at all possible. Don't be a fool. I want to make one more point, and then we'll shut down. You see, what we do in life is we are called to be witnesses and examples for Christ. We're Christ followers. And your friends and your children and your grandchildren, they want to honor you. And so many times we mess that up by being a fool, by engaging ourselves in meaningless conflicts, stuff that just doesn't matter. They want to honor you. They want to honor us, but we won't let them because we continuously engage in these meaningless conflicts. So here's what we really need to do over every conflict. Is we need to ask these two questions. Number one, is this something I would encourage my child or my friend to do? Would I encourage them to engage into this conflict, or would I tell them, turn from it? And then number two, is this conflict and my engaging in it, is it something that I would want my friends or my children to observe me involved in? Is it something I'd be real proud of? I think if we were to ask that, then we would quickly see most of the stuff that we become engaged in is just not worth it. It's meaningless. So if we want to live a victorious life, if we want to live a life that's full of victory, we've got to learn and recognize which battles to fight and which battles to leave alone. Every time that you're challenged doesn't mean you have to fight. Every situation that you're engaged in doesn't mean you have to take it on. Learn from life. Thank God for the Abigails that come your way that will help you calm down and reevaluate this thing and not blemish your life. Thank God that you can be focused enough to not get entailed and entwined and engaged with Eliabs of life. And a lot of us have relatives who have engaged us, and we're so consumed with the relative that we've lost focus on what we're really here to accomplish. Turn from that. Engage in only the things that are necessary. It really doesn't matter which end of the toothpaste you squeeze. Most of the stuff that we get involved in and engaged in, it just doesn't matter. Don't let some meaningless thing separate you from church or from God. It just doesn't matter like that. You can whip a skunk any day of the week. But is it worth it? Is it worth the enemies and the stink? Is it worth it? Be a wise person. Learn how to avoid strife. If you will, you'll be a hero. You'll be a hero to your children. You'll be a hero to your friends. You'll be a hero to God. And you'll experience your destiny. Learn to recognize which battles to fight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. Lord, you challenged every single one of us. You've made us look at ourselves, if for nothing less than at which end of the toothpaste we squeeze. Father, I thank you today for your word. It's so good. Thank you for challenging us and causing us to become heroes for you. Heroes for our children, heroes for our spouses, heroes for our grandchildren and our friends. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe you'd say, Delbert, that is so it. You know, every single day we are challenged. And I seem sometimes to involve myself into situations that I really should turn from. And I really want the Holy Spirit to help me. And I really want to become better and better at this. If that's you, would you raise your hand right where you're sitting and let me pray for you? I see just about everyone's hands. Father, thank you. Lord, help us here. Your Spirit reminds us of all things. So, Holy Spirit, remind us of this. Remind us the next time that we come in conflict, that we want to engage in a battle. Lord, let us count the cost. Let us look at this thing and see if it's something that has a reward, if it's truly standing between us and our God-given destinies, and if not, Lord, give us the strength and the ability to turn from it and focus on those things that are of our destiny. Head still bowed and eyes still closed. Now, some of you, I don't know where you are. You're maybe a long way from God. I know that some of you are. You're not where you need to be with the Lord. And you're constantly in these conflicts and these fights and these battles. And nothing about life is going right. Every time you try to do something, it fails. And life just isn't good for you. God doesn't want it that way. You see, Jesus came so that we could have life in that abundantly. He's got such a great life planned out for you. He's got things so worked out for you. He's got people lined up for you to meet that's going to bring you into good things of life. He's got things for you to do and accomplish that you haven't even dreamed of. But you've got to receive Him. That's what He's about. He says, I came to give you life, and that abundantly. And you're missing it because you're far from God. He's asking you today, come to me. Let me come into your life and be a part of you. And if you will, then you're going to experience a greater life than you've ever dreamed. So if that's you today, and you just know you're not where you need to be with God, if that's you, would you, right where you're sitting, just raise your hand and let me pray for you right where you're sitting. I see a hand here. Just look at me and let me make eye contact with you. I see you. Any others? I see you back there. I see you back there. Two. Any others? Three. I see another. Any others?